We sit glued to the TV set all night
and every night.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of...
Hello and welcome to TV Times 3, episode number 106, not 105. I am Amri from MyTakeOnTV.com.
I'm Jason the TVaholic from TVaholic.com, and this week we have joining us...
I am Carla Day from ClickClack.com.
Yay, welcome Carla!
Hello.
Alright, so tell us a little bit about yourself.
I currently write for ClickClack.com. I started writing there, started actually with them by running some live blogs or live chats during different shows like Castle and Project Runway. And then I started writing for them. So I cover a few different shows during the summer and during the regular season and write different posts. My favorite is my maiden voyage through Westeros, which is my newbie's view of Game of Thrones. That was nice. Kind of one of the things that I did this last year that I really, really enjoyed. So that's me.
Excellent. Well, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We kind of ended up spending a lot of time in the same circles, some round table circles at Comic-Con this year. It's so funny. You start to see, like, the same people every day. And you can tell, like, who's still enjoying it by Sunday. And then there's the people that have been there, like, for 5 years who are like, yeah, I'm never coming back for a four-day weekend ever again. But I think this year ended pretty well for me. I wasn't ready to kill too many people by the final day. So we all made it through.
I enjoyed it. Castle was one of the last ones, so I was excited because, you know, the last day, my last press room, got to meet Nathan Fillion, so can't
Yeah, that is a good one. That's a good way to end. And, like, my last one was Sons of Anarchy, so that, too, was amazing because I love those people. So I am with you. So today we have kind of a lot of news because we're getting towards the end of the summer, beginning of the season, so everything's starting to kind of come out. I don't know if it's a surprise or not, but MTV has canceled The Hard Times of RJ Berger after 2 seasons. I wasn't watching it. Was anybody else?
I wasn't.
I didn't hear about it. I didn't even know of it until I heard about the cancellation. Oops.
Oh, well.
Well, it's one of those, they have these sets of comedies and things that they play, but just like they're playing Awkward now, they play it at, like, you know, midnight or 11 o'clock or something like that, and... For me, they sort of get lost in the shuffle, not being in the prime time mix.
Yeah.
I pretty much avoided MTV until this summer when I started watching Teen Wolf. So I never saw previews for anything. I never watched anything on MTV.
That would be a problem as well, since I don't watch. I have to say that's the same for me. I can't remember the last thing I watched on MTV until... Well, I did watch, like, the first episode of Skins, their remake of that, but the first thing that I've actually watched is Teen Wolf, and then now Awkward.
Awkward. I love Awkward. Yeah, so no surprise there, really. This kind of is kind of a surprise. TBS has canceled Lopez Tonight as of last Thursday, but then the next day they were airing all new George Lopez episodes, because I guess they didn't work fast enough.
Yeah, the memo didn't quite make it down to the... people
yes.
Running the stuff.
So,
that one was weird.
I don't know. I mean...
I can see why they did. I mean, based on the numbers and cost and whatnot, I guess. You know, and it had 2 years, granted 1 year at a different... Being pushed back an hour to, you know, to find an audience or whatever. But to do it, like, basically a couple days before you would basically be renewing it. Because, like, this week would be, like, the new season... It's kind of strange that they did it like that. It's like, oh, yeah, you got 2 days.
Yeah, exactly. They, like, warned people. They gave people no warning, and I don't know. It was weird. It was handled, I think, not well by TBS. Go ahead.
I was going to say, do you think there's any validity to the rumors that it was to free budget so they could do a Charlie Sheen show?
Oh, God. You know, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. It would be horrible, but I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't really have anything to say about Charlie Sheen, but I thought that was an interesting, you know, that they would want to maybe pick up his new comedy.
That's interesting. Ugh, Charlie Sheen.
And on to the next topic.
And on to the next topic. This is kind of, speaking of things that were kind of handled terribly, Sci-Fi announced that Eureka would be getting a sixth season of six episodes. And then, like, 3 days later, Sci-Fi announced that Eureka would be getting the end, would not. Those six episodes no longer existed. They're going to end after the fifth season that they're currently filming. But after, and in Sci-Fi's defense, it wasn't Sci-Fi. I don't believe that Sci-Fi didn't fight for the show. I think that their new bosses kind of looked at Eureka and saw that it wasn't making money, even though it was kind of the darling of the network, and said, that's it, it just has to go. So through some fan outcry and some, because Sci-Fi does love Eureka so much, they are getting a final episode to wrap up the whole show, but not a final season like they had been promised 3 days prior.
Yeah, they had the final season, which would have made it actually sort of like, they've done the longer seasons before anyways, which six episodes with the 16 that they were doing would have been like a 22 episode season, but then they pulled back on that, and at least they did give them another,
yeah,
the budget to do another episode to, because they were, I guess they, when they, this came down, they were like in the middle of like just about to go into filming the last, what, you know, what would have ended up being the last episode. So it's not like they could have tweaked a whole lot,
yeah,
to create a, you know, sort of a series finale type of thing. So at least they did do that for, you know, for fans of the series.
And what I hope comes out of it, I mean, of everything, is I just hope that we get to see these actors and other things, because I love them all.
Yeah, that, and it's starting to be, everybody always talks that you know, the costs of producing a series goes up over the course, you know, because people get raises and stuff, mm-hmm, like that. And, you know, not to deny anybody any money necessarily or whatever, but maybe they need to start working on what actually people should be paid and what, because if you end up making so much money that your series now has to be canceled because it's not making any money for the network that it's on, then that just seems stupid to me. Like,
yeah.
Because now you're not making any money and you're having to find another job, and another job doesn't necessarily start out at the same place that you were. I think the financials of it is just strange to me. Like,
well, also, I'm pretty sure these people are not making nearly as much as someone on, like, NBC.
Well, I'm sure that's probably true, too, but it's still the economics of things. It's sort of like the economics of sports. They keep paying the athletes more and more, but then the league's not making any money, and you just,
exactly,
go, well, stop paying everybody so much. Like, just stop.
It'll never happen.
But then
it'll
never happen. They keep doing it, you know, and so the same thing happens with shows, and then they end up getting budgeted out of being able to do future seasons when there's still... Eureka is the type of show that it's not like you run out of fun stories to tell in that,
oh, I know,
wacky little world for, you know, quite some time.
I will say this, like, in the shadows of canceling Eureka, they renewed Warehouse 13 kind of quietly, like 3 days later, which, I mean, throw some salt into the wounds. I mean, Warehouse 13 is fine. I enjoy the show. I'm still up in arms about Eureka, though, so I wasn't really, like, it didn't give me, like, if it had happened in a different week where it wasn't the week where they had renewed and then canceled Eureka, I probably would be like, oh, good job, congratulations, Warehouse 13, but all I was focusing on was Eureka, so sorry.
Well, maybe they can at least bring Fargo over to Warehouse 13.
Yes, I agree. I love him and Claudia together.
I like
together.
Him and Claudia together.
They're amazing.
Even though I do like him with Holly.
I think it's so funny that he and Allison are like that in real life, too. Like, they're amazing.
Have you guys seen tonight's episode?
I haven't watched it yet.
No.
With the crossover, it's really good with Fargo showing back up again.
Excellent. So, USA also did some canceling and renewing this week. USA renewed Suits for a second season. And there are rumors circulating that Necessary Roughness is just some contract stuff away from being renewed. And then USA also, and this isn't really, they didn't really renew it this summer. They renewed it like last summer when they had originally renewed it for season 4. But they're confirming that they are definitely ending after this final season, of the fifth season that they've gotten. And I think they shortened it to only 8 episodes. I don't know how many they had originally gotten, but they shortened it to 8 episodes. So 8 more episodes of Mary and her team. And I mean, I haven't been watching since maybe the first 7 episodes, but people seem to love it, so
I think it's time for it to be done. This last season was not all that great, you know.
And you hate for a show to go out on, like, kind of a downward creative turn. So hopefully this last 8 episodes kicks it into gear.
Yeah, definitely.
It was also, she got pregnant. And
yeah, it kind of threw things into a kind of a last-minute lurch.
And with her type of character, you can't not write that. You can't write around that.
Yeah.
And they decided to write that into it because they couldn't. They'd have to significantly postpone when they were filming and stuff like that. And so, I think some of what they may have had in mind and stuff like that had to change a lot when they decided.
Right. And well,
to go
and Mary McCormick didn't even. She didn't even tell them until I think the writers were writing episode 5. I think that's what she said in the conference call. So they were like in the midst of writing and they had to, you know, juggle everything. And I just didn't like the route the writers went. I didn't like the way that they wrote in the pregnancy and who the father was. And
oh, I don't know who the father is. Who's the father?
Her ex-husband that she was married to for like less than a month showed back up in town and they hooked up one night and then she got pregnant. So it was kind of, and he's kind of a weird character. And
wasn't she starting
really
something with Marshall, or did they finally, because I thought that they were going to try and have, like, a lot of people were campaigning for Marshall to be the dad.
Yeah, no, he has a new girl. He had a new girlfriend when they came back. So she worked in the local police department. So now the two of them are together. Now Mary and her ex-husband from like 20 years ago is back in town. And then, spoiler alert if you haven't seen the finale, but like her sister walked up, never showed up to her wedding, which just was odd that she would just not end up getting married. So I don't know. The whole thing seemed off to me.
You knew she was maybe going to freak out some, but you thought that Mary finally showing up was like going to be able to like bring her back, and that they weren't going to blow up like 4 seasons of character development.
Exactly. It's kind of like, well, where do we go now? You know, I'm glad it's unfortunate because, you know, it was a much better show, I think, before. But, you know, I think with 8 episodes left, hopefully they can kind of turn things around and put it back where it needs to be.
Excellent. So that's our news for the week. If you know of any other news, you know where to find it. Let us know about it, because we didn't look it up. Only one thing we want to talk about for TV on DVD this week. Jason has, I mean, there's stuff out there, and there's stuff you can buy, and I would, you know, I say buy as many DVD sets as possible, because I would like to build a wall of DVDs in my room someday. But nothing that I really care to talk about.
That'll be, you'll build a house someday with DVD containers, you know, to
give
and
it
when
time.
You do that, then everything will be streaming and you'll be like, why do I have all these DVDs?
Exactly.
When I can just stream everything easily.
Exactly.
That's right. Well, they've re-released, or they're re-putting back out on DVD the British Prime Suspect series that starred Helen Mirren, and I guess the full, like, all 7 of them came out in a giant set like last week, and this week they're re-releasing them, I guess, and which is smart, I guess, leading into with the promotion from NBC.
But
for the new
at the
series.
Same time, don't get your hopes up.
Yeah, well, my thing is you should go watch, whether it's the find it on Netflix or whatever, not necessarily buy them, but the first couple of the Prime Suspect are definitely the best of those, and just to be able to get a feel for what the idea originally was, and it's definitely worth worth watching.
Cool. So that's TV on DVD. So today we're going to start our fall preview with the number one network. Unless is Fox the number one network? I just had trouble saying the word network.
CBS is the most watched.
Okay.
And I think Fox came in first in the 18 to 49 because they're always a little bit behind, and then American Idol puts them over the top.
Gotcha. So anyway, we're starting with CBS. CBS, good Lord. CBS.
So the Sunday there's nothing new on Sunday, but they have moved The Good Wife to Between the Amazing Race and CSI Miami, and they all start on September 25th.
You know, I'm excited about The Amazing Race, and I'm a little nervous about The Good Wife because of Football Overrun, but I still love it, so I'll be watching it.
That'll cause some problems, you know, here and there for the first part of the season, but at least the second part of the season, it should you know, run pretty well. That should be a pretty good night.
Yeah.
I'm just glad that it's no longer up against Parenthood. You could tell when one was on and the other wasn't that they definitely were drawing the same viewers.
Yeah.
The viewership of the other one would go up, you know, a few million or a couple million when, you know, the other show wasn't on. So, and it'll be easier for me because I can now watch, you know, both of them.
Yeah, because I was kind of not, I mean, I recorded Parenthood and then never caught up on it because I was only focusing on The Good Wife on Tuesdays. So that makes, that's a good point because now maybe I can get back into Parenthood because I really enjoy the show.
Last year, Tuesdays were interesting over the whole course of the season because just on the networks and then there was tons of stuff on cable,
mm-hmm.
You know, on either USA or FX or something like that. There were, and so there was always like three or four really good shows on all at the same time that were all sort of these adult dramas that would sort of attract an older audience type of.
Yeah.
And so they kind of have had a similar audience, and you could no one show would ever do like amazing on
the, yeah, no one show was a clear winner
on the night. But so it'd be interesting to see. It's sort of by itself. I mean, there'll be some stuff on cable, I'm sure. But it's the final season of Desperate Housewives and stuff like that that people have stopped watching, and so it has a good chance of doing really well on that. So okay, on to Monday. Mondays will be How I Met Your Mother, followed by Two Broke Girls and Two and a Half Men, and then Mike and Molly and Hawaii 5-0. Mike and Molly starts on September 26th, and the rest of them start the week before on September 19th. Except Two Broke Girls is going to premiere after Two and a Half Men on the 19th, and then it'll move to after How I Met Your Mother as of the 26th, and then Mike and Molly will take over after.
Here is a night of the week where I will be watching nothing on CBS.
Not even Two Broke Girls?
Oh my God,
you
no.
didn't like it?
Oh my gosh, I loved it.
Horrendous. I thought it was horrendous.
You thought it was horrendous? Well, that would make sense because I thought it was hilarious.
I thought it was hilarious. And I don't watch many comedies.
Was it the two rape jokes that were funny? I've now watched it twice, and because I keep seeing everybody online say how much they loved it. And I'm like, what am I missing? I don't get it. But I mean, so many people said they like it, so I'm sure there's going to be an audience for it.
I think some the potential. There seemed to be a lot more potential in it, too, going forward in like the crop of comedies that are, of new comedies coming this fall.
I mean, if I had to pick a Whitney Cummings sitcom,
you would pick this one.
I mean, I guess I'd pick this one.
I guess what I liked, I watched it a long time ago, so I don't remember any of the specific jokes, but I went into it. I don't watch a lot of comedies. I watch Big Bang Theory, and that's pretty much about it. But what I liked about this was that it starts being a show that you think, oh, I've seen this before. There's a rich girl and a poor girl. They're waitresses, you know, and they have struggles. But the twist at the end, which I won't really say specifically, but the fact that they end up having this goal that they want mm-hmm. to achieve, to me, gives it such more potential than a lot of other comedies that are just kind of your basic, you know, run of the mill. They take an idea that's already been done with new actors in a new location and try to do it again. Where this, I think I like the interaction between the two leads. And again, this having this goal that they're setting forth and watching them try to achieve this goal, I think will make it something unique that we haven't seen in a comedy before.
I mean, I always give my shows a second episode, so it has a second episode to change my mind. But right now, I am not watching it.
But it's starting in a hole from the...
It's starting, yes. It's starting behind the eight ball here.
For the most part, I really liked it. I kind of keep going back and forth. It's between that and New Girl as the comedies coming this fall that I like the best.
I love New Girl. I mean, for what it's worth.
Okay, so on to Tuesday. Tuesday will be NCIS, followed by NCIS Los Angeles, and then new show Unforgettable, and they all start on September 20th.
I'm sure the joke's going to be made multiple times that unforgettable is the opposite of that. But let me just say, I'm going to watch it. I love Poppy Montgomery. I love Dylan Walsh. Is Kevin Rankin in this one? Herc from Friday Night Lights, I'm pretty sure he is. It's got a great cast, and I'm going to watch it.
I will probably watch it. I don't know if it's something that I'll stick with past, you know, I usually give shows about 3 episodes, but it seems a little too procedural for me to watch necessarily consistently on a regular, you know. But I liked the cast a lot, and I liked the premise, but I also think it could get really old really quick.
Agreed.
You know, I mean, for me, I mean, people that like procedurals, I think it'll be a hit. I think people will like it that like procedurals.
Oh, yeah. So basically, 75% of CBS's audience is going to find this show perfection.
Exactly.
It should definitely work on the night. As Amory said, I like the cast. I like Poppy Montgomery. And I like characters that have some sort of quirk or, you know, ability that is used in an interesting way. And, you know, her being able to remember everything that's ever happened, you know, creates lots of different problems, you know, that they show for, you know, relationships and all kinds of things because she remembers everything that happens.
Right.
And there was a lot of interesting stuff in it. And then obviously it's a procedural, but the thing that bothered me about it that I think would get old is the execution of showing her remembering stuff.
Yeah, I agree. That could get old.
The weirdness that sort of comes on screen and stuff like that to show, I don't think it needs that.
I completely forget what happens.
It just sort of, I don't know, it almost is sort of go, everything sort of goes away and it, you see how things are like replaying and then she catches something that, you know, she didn't realize she remembered.
Like a clue or,
you know, and then, and stuff like that. And I just think that in the certain situations where they're showing her remembering something, that she, you know, that she's seen or for that type of stuff would get old. I don't know how much that's going to get used. I don't know how this, because not necessarily every story necessarily will completely revolve around her having seen something go down. Cause, but I like the idea of, you know, her being able to recall stuff to help solve a case and stuff like that. I just kind of like they did with, the Mentalist. They used to, in the first few episodes, they used to like focus in on the things that he was looking in, you know, looking at to try and give like the audience what clues he was picking up.
Hmm.
And it was just like this little extra that wasn't really needed.
Right.
You know, they didn't need to do that type of stuff and they went away from it and it didn't, you know, it made the show actually flow a little better. That's the only thing there. But I think it has, especially on CBS, it has potential with being fronted from a star of a previous show that did really well on CBS.
Right.
So, on to Wednesday. Wednesday, nothing new on Wednesday, but sort of some things switched around with Survivor starting on September 14th, and then that'll be followed by Criminal Minds on the 21st of September, and then CSI is moving into to close out the night as of September 21st.
With a new cast, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, with
Ted Danson.
I think it actually probably is a good thing. I think as the show, once they started going away from like the original cast, I think this is the type of show that can go on for a while, but I think it needs sort of some sort of upheaval by bringing in a new character and bringing in somebody that sounds like they're going to be the head of the department instead of an underling seems like a different way to go to cause some other tension and storytelling and whatnot in the series.
Right. I mean, it should be interesting. I haven't watched CSI probably ever, so
I stopped.
I won't
watching a couple seasons ago.
Yeah, I was watching, and I somewhere last season I got behind, and then it was too far to catch up.
Yeah, and Criminal Minds I think is kind of a big thing this year too, because not only they have a new showrunner, suddenly, miraculously, the two women that were fired are back and are series regulars. I wonder if the two are coincidental, but I mean, I don't watch it. I mean, it's one of those shows I catch every now and then, but I think it'll help the show creatively to have the team that actually likes working together all back together.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think it'll give a little boost to the show, bringing back some favorites, even though some of the storylines of how they wrote some of them out is sort of weird to bring them back now. But
yeah.
But that's the thing that I think that'll help that show the most is that the spinoff died.
Yeah.
Because that was like a terrible version of Criminal Minds, which is a straight up procedural from the get go, but it was like a super bad version of it.
Right.
So that'll be an interesting night just to see how CSI does moving. You know, it's been in that Thursday 9 o'clock slot for so long.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how it does up against SVU. And okay, on to Thursdays. Thursdays will be The Big Bang Theory starting on September 22nd, and that'll be followed by How to Be a Gentleman as of September 29th, and then new show Person of Interest on September 22nd, and that'll be followed by The Mentalist also starting on September 22nd.
I did chuckle as I was watching How to Be a Gentleman.
Really?
Because I think it's because I find Rhys Darby funny no matter what he does. So, I mean, like, it was so dumb that he's, like, doing these scenes where he's pretending to be Superman or, like, going down the escalator or whatever. But to me, like, that man can do no wrong. So I kind of give him the benefit of the doubt. Do I think the show is going to succeed? No. I mean, I don't know why people keep giving Kevin Dillon acting jobs.
It's not the worst. Well,
it's not the worst.
It's not the worst new comedy. Well,
it's not the worst.
It's not the worst new comedy of the fall. It's definitely not the worst new comedy of that may show up at some point in time this season. But it's right down there for me.
Wait, what are you trying to slyly cover and say is the worst comedy?
Well, that Work It ABC show is like the worst.
Right. Check.
But that doesn't show up, and that's supposed to be mid-season sometime or whatever.
I made it all the way through How to Be a Gentleman. I did not for Work Up or whatever. I think I made it through 10 minutes.
So right there you have your...
It's three times better.
All of a sudden, that quote will be on CBS. It's three times better than...
I made it all the way through, says Carla Day of Click Clack.
Yes, the best top-notch pull quotes for... that'll show up in the ad.
But you know what? It's going to have an audience. It's going to have an audience.
I have to say, How to Be a Gentleman, like... The beginning, I was kind of like, you got to be kidding me. The middle, I was like, what? But then at the end, I was like, okay, I can maybe see what the appeal of this show is. Because it kind of went, you know, through Blowing this transition. You
In
know?
The middle, I was kind of like, what?
Well, you know, it definitely sets up the comedy. So mm-hmm. at the end, I could see where maybe it would be funny week after week once you have the setup. Yeah.
It takes a whole episode to set up where it might be funny in the next episode.
Then there's hope for Whitney.
Yeah. Well, you know, they had to get all the characters introduced and, you know, kind of that's what the first episode was.
Yes.
And at times it wasn't that funny.
So on to a show that I couldn't get through.
Uh-oh.
Person of Interest.
You didn't find any interest?
I stopped at 6 minutes.
6 minutes? You didn't even...
And 6 minutes?
I haven't gone back.
You didn't even like Ben Linus?
No. And I hate myself for it, because I love Michael Emerson so much. But and one of my favorite people told me today that it was one of their favorite shows, and I was like, oh.
What is it that you didn't like that
I was terribly bored. I don't know. I just did not capture my interest. I will go back and watch the whole thing so I can give it a full, like, you know,
a full
once
down.
Over, whatever. But, yeah. Yeah.
I really liked Person of Interest, but you really have to give, like, this big suspension of disbelief. Like, because the thing that they set up for the show of how they end up with the person of interest for the week...
Mm-hmm.
He created some system for the government to find, you know, terrorists and whatnot, but it also spits out social security numbers. That's all you get. You don't know.
See, I buy that, though. Like, I know there are systems like that are government has that look at all that data to find, you know, commonalities of, you know, threats. So, I mean, there really is a system in the United States government has to do that.
But that's for, like, what the thing does, like, his system that he created, that's what it does. But it also did this as, like, a side effect that they...
Like a backdoor.
As it would also... They were, like, lesser things that weren't, you know, weren't big, you know, the big things that they were searching for type of thing. But I don't know, just sort of the explanation that they give, it's, like, not enough, and it just sort of goes away, and it's just like, okay. So basically, if you can buy that premise, if you can allow yourself to buy that, how they get the person of interest for the week, then the rest of it is a little bit procedural, but it also has an action, a little bit more action to it, with him being, you know, a former...
Jason Bourne.
Yeah, sort of clandestine type operative that's been off the grid. And so I think it does really well with... it was, for me, it was just sort of the setup of how they get to there. I was just like... Because it almost made it seem like, is there sort of like a sci-fi element to this? Or is it just like... Or what, you know? Like, what is that? And you're just like, okay, I'll just forget about that. They get these numbers and that... He's got a big list of them, or whatever, and he you know, he keeps getting them, and what exactly is it trying to spit out? Is there something bigger within all these little things? I don't know. I'll definitely keep watching just for the sort of action entertainment portion of the show.
I kind of liked it, but I kind of didn't like it at the same time. I think it has potential, but I can see where you stop watching after 6 minutes. I was kind of bored during part of it, but again, pilots they're tough because so much of it is setting up the story, you know, so you don't really know sometimes what's going to happen week to week. But I kind of got like the movie Wanted feel from it a little bit with, you know, that the numbers were just coming out. It's kind of like the same thing as Wanted when the organization was just getting, you know, these names that they were supposed to assassinate. So it'll be interesting to see if it is all going to be used for good. I mean, it seems at this point it's supposedly being used for good, but...
Well, the other interesting aspect, too, is what it spits out is they just know that this person's going to be involved in something.
Right.
But they don't know whether something's going to happen to them, whether they're going to do something to somebody else. You know, so it gives you a little bit of... There's the investigation portion of finding out, trying to figure out whether... This is a good guy or a bad guy, or what, you know, what they're going to be involved in, and then either protecting them or taking them down over the course of the series. So it ranks up in the top half of the new stuff that I've seen for me.
Do you think CBS's audience will, that it maybe it's too high level? I don't want to say high level thinking, but... You know, it's not just a regular procedural. You definitely, there's more, it's more complex than a lot of other CBS shows. And the, you know, the premise behind it is more complex.
But I think that's the sort of, maybe they're trying to branch out. You know, they keep trying to a little bit with different shows that sort of fit their audience, but a little different. I mean, USA Network's been sort of doing that lately with their Characters Wanted. They still are creating great characters to watch and mostly fun shows, but there might be a little darker, you know, a little bit more of an edge to them than, you know, in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So I think something like this may attempt to sort of stretch their audience a little bit. I think it should do pretty well. I think it'll at least get an initial, due to the cast and stuff like that, it'll get a good initial viewing.
We'll see. I mean, I'm with you. I agree. Like, I think that, I don't know. I can never estimate anymore because you'd think that they're not branching out too much. Like, it's not too different than what they've done, but it is different enough that it's like, is it just that little difference that's going to throw everything off?
Right. It'll be fun to watch.
Yes.
What happens with it. Not necessarily the show, but.
Well, plus it's a, you know, sort of prime real estate. That's, you know, they're thinking big things about this show.
Yeah.
You know, launching it at 9 o'clock on Thursdays. Okay, so on to Friday. Friday starts out with new show A Gifted Man, and it'll be followed by CSI New York and then Blue Bloods, all starting on September 23rd.
I watched A Gifted Man. And I like Patrick Wilson, and I feel like Jennifer Eale is like too old for him. I don't know. They feel weird. But I thought the show was just fine. I'll watch it maybe a second or third time.
I didn't like this show at all.
Yeah, me either.
What was it that you didn't like?
The whole like
the whole ex-wife
he hasn't seen for years, like, shows up and she's a ghost.
Right.
Like, just didn't work for me. I didn't buy it. He's not a nice man,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I don't want to watch something where I don't, like, the lead is just so unlikable. And, you know, I know she's there to try to make him a better person and, you know, he's very talented, but there has to be really redeeming qualities on a show, you know, in a storyline for me to want to watch a show where there's people, like, the characters just, like, are fingernails on a chalkboard. And that's kind of how his character was to me. Every time he spoke, I was kind of like, ugh. I'll probably give it at least a second episode just to see how they build off the pilot. But Fridays are now going to be one of my busiest nights for watching TV. So last season I might have given it more of a shot than this season, but I think Fridays are like, I think there's 8 shows on Fridays that I watch now. So yeah, so it, I don't think it'll be very likely that it'll be a show that I'll keep watching. But, and I don't know that CBS viewers are, you know, even the ones that were watching, you know, the Supernaturally CBS stuff before are really going to like this show. They might, though.
Yeah, they might. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it, but I'll give it a couple episodes.
Well, it's kind of like, for like a really long time now, though, like CBS seems to think that they need to have something sort of supernaturally in that 8 o'clock Friday time slot. Like, you got Ghost Whisperer. They put Medium in there for a bit, you know, and before that, Joan of Arcadia. That's been that sort of one spot.
But those were all feel good dramas. You know, they were all like you liked the characters. You were rooting for them. You were, you know, it was kind of more lighthearted, you know, supernatural, wonder, fun. You know, you love them. And this just doesn't really fit that at all, I don't think.
Yeah, other than it has a ghost.
Exactly.
Or is that a spoiler?
Spoiler alert!
that sort of is a spoiler, but how can you not know that? Like, isn't that, like, pretty much in the ads? They pretty much give that away.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
And which is sort of the only, like, if you were actually could watch that first episode without knowing that, then you might get at least one nifty reveal at one point. But I don't know. Some of the way that it was shot, too, just didn't work for me either. I may watch another episode, but it was one of the shows that I didn't like. I liked it so little that it has a good chance of not getting that normal 3 episode. I usually give things 3 episodes, but that first episode has to have something that I find interesting, and, you know, to get those subsequent episodes to see where they try and go with things. And this one just didn't have really any element that interests me going forward.
Yeah, and I don't have CBS On Demand on my cable network, and you know, my DVR is going to be packed, so it'll probably be a situation where even if I can get it on, like, a second DVR, it'll sit there, and then I'll probably end up just not getting to it.
Right.
For me, I have CBS On Demand, but if it's one of the ones that shows up on demand, then it would probably be one that would sit there, and then 4 weeks would go by, and an episode would drop off the list, and then I'd be behind, and then I'd just forget about it.
You know what I'm concerned about? I'm concerned about Blue Bloods this season. Concerned in that last year it was more like about family, right? This year it sounds like they're trying to focus it more on procedural, like turn it into a procedural and less about family, which the only reason I really enjoyed it was because it was about the family.
Well, yeah, that was
so I'm torn.
They had a case. There was usually, you know, there was something going on, sometimes multiple things. But yeah, it was a family drama that was a cop show.
Yeah.
You know, sort of like Friday Night Lights had football in it. You know, Grey's Anatomy also has some doctory stuff. It's not really, those elements are not really what the show was about or what I, you know, or what I liked about it. And so if they do that, if they go more away from that, because that was what was interesting was the family discussions about different things and how this family, you know, all
grew up
together.
Sure, did it feel a little weird that this family all sat down and talked about stuff? Sure. Did it feel odd that they all were on, like, there was always one person on each side of the story? Sure. But I still enjoyed the dinners that they had.
But I think that's normal. It's just because you grow up in the same family, a large family or whatever, people are going to end up in different places.
Right.
And so I found sometimes it was a little too on the nose with some of the conversations that would happen, but it still provided an interesting element above whatever the case was or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I hope that that's not the case because,
we'll see.
That would change it.
That would change it significantly.
Yeah. The last thing being Saturday, CBS has rules of engagement as of September 24th. And then
I don't care about
48
that
Hours Mystery also starts up on the September 24th with the reruns in between. I think that's such an... CBS tried to sort of spin it as, hey, we're putting new stuff on. But it's such a... We've cooked a deal that... Rules of Engagement.
They're giving it to us for free, right?
It's basically being produced so that they can make it to, have a nice number of episodes to go into syndication.
Right, exactly.
The thing that's weird about it is the show has always done pretty well.
Yeah, I know.
No matter where they've put it, I'm interested to see what type of rating it does do on a all by itself. See, if they were really putting new stuff, then they would have paired it with something else on the night. But since they didn't pair it with another comedy on the night, that explanation of we're putting new stuff on Saturday doesn't really hold. But no matter where they've put it, it's sort of just been this like ultimate bench player where they've been able to just plug it in someplace and it pulls in a nice audience. I mean, personally, I wouldn't be surprised if sometime in October, all of a sudden you saw it was on CBS Thursday nights after Big Bang Theory again.
Hmm. Well, should be interesting.
But there you have it. That's CBS.
That's CBS.
That's what's coming this fall on CBS. And next week, we'll be talking about ABC.
Which I'll have a lot better things to say about than I did for CBS.
Okay, so, well, quickly, though, on this, which of all the new CBS shows, which one are you most looking forward to seeing more of?
Can I say none?
None. And so least would be all of the above.
Everything.
How about you, Carla?
I have to say I'm kind of in the same boat. None of them, like, I mean, I'm looking forward to Two Broke Girls, but other than that, I mean, I'm not too excited about any of these offerings. You know, they're just kind of blah.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing particularly original or, you know, where it's like, I am going to watch this show every single week and, you know, it's going to be one of my favorite shows. They're all just kind of, but they're just not the type of show I watch.
Right.
You know, as part of it.
Well, Two Broke Girls is probably the one that I'm most looking forward to seeing more of, to see where they take that and if it remains funny.
Right.
And then, as I stated already, A Gifted Man is definitely the least.
So that is CBS. Moving on to prime time. We don't have much this week because...
We talked about a bunch of CBS stuff.
Yeah. So, starting off with White Collar, Season 3, Episode 10, Countdown, Summer Finale. It was a fine end to a fine season. I don't know. I mean, my concern and my problem with White Collar, and it remains my concern and my problem with White Collar, it's one of my favorite shows. Like, I do watch every episode the night it airs. I love the chemistry between Neil and, you know, between Matt Bomer and Tim DeKay. And every cast member, really. Like, every single one of the seven, I think, is fantastic. My concern is that they're going to get to this end of the season where, spoiler alert, no, Elizabeth's taken. Peter's mad because he knows Neil's involved. Not involved, but it's because of Neil. But the show, they're the central romance of the show. You know, like, Neil and Peter are the central romance of the show. They can't not, quote-unquote, be together. So there's no, like, tension that's really going to continue. And Peter, I mean, Neil and Mozzie aren't going to stay mad at each other. Like, it's not going to happen.
I sort of get where they've gone, you know, where they went with this season of it being the season of Neil choosing sort of which direction he wants to go, you know, Mozzie giving him the ultimatum, you know, you got to choose. Going back to the season premiere, listeners will remember that I didn't particularly care for where they went with it in the season premiere and how they ended the last season. It was sort of a contrivance to me, this sort of prove it, like, I think you stole this stuff and, you know, well, prove it. And then that comes back up in this episode. And while I like what they did in between it with the story of Neil trying to figure out whether, you know, whether he wants to stay in this life now that he has or go with what he's, you know, sort of always been going after, you know, as, you know, sort of the criminal. I think that's been an interesting storyline, and I think this last episode was outstanding. The heist and the being one step ahead and moving things around and stuff like that, they did a really good job with that. It was a lot of fun. Obviously, they, you know, they can't do an episode without putting some sort of cliffhanger, and I think this might be one of the more, while you don't believe necessarily that anything real is going to happen, you know, bad to her, this might be one of the better cliffhangers that they've done, in that at least it'll take the episode that they come back to resolve it. It won't be one of those that's like resolved in the first couple minutes type of thing. So I think that that has a little bit better for story. But you know, like you said, the two main characters sort of being at odds, while I understand that storyline for this season, I don't like how they started it. Because to me, at the point where they were, it didn't come off as real that Peter would just, even though he saw the painting, that he would just instantly think that Neil did it.
Mm-hmm.
That he would approach Neil the way that he did. And that Neil would come back with being like pissed off that thinks that. And at the time, Neil had no knowledge of what had happened. He thought that the stuff had actually blown up.
Right.
And so for him to go, well, prove it, was just seemed stupid to me. Like that conversation just seemed like it never would have taken place. And so while I liked the story that they've told, it seemed to be built off this contrivance that never really worked for me.
I liked the story. I thought that it was, for the story, Neil needed to grow and to make this decision and be forced into making the decision. And I think the treasure was a really good way of making it clear that he could either finally go and do what he would have done 5 years ago, you know, and lived out his life on an island somewhere, or he's now knows what, for the first time in his life, what it is to be a real person and to have a family of sorts, you know, with Peter and his wife. And, you know, they're not really family, but it's the closest thing he'll probably ever have. And then the relationship with Sarah, I know a lot of people didn't like her, but I love the addition of Sarah. And
I do too. My favorite part.
Yeah, who would not? They're great together.
I love them together. And I think, again, Sarah is almost the same as Peter in a way where, you know, they are people that are there to show Neil the straight life.
Yeah.
And that you can live a straight life. And I don't know. I liked it all. I think I can see where you're saying it was a little contrived at the beginning to put them in this place, but.
Well, I can even see them getting to this place. I just didn't like that very beginning of how it got there. It, like, once they did get there, the story's been really good. They've executed it really well. It was the how they got into the story that just didn't work for me.
But see, that's something that Neil would have said 3 or 4 years ago if Peter and Neil happened to meet. Like, there was one episode where they did a flashback where they
met. Well, I know, but that's
the
thing that bothered me about it, is it wasn't 3 or 4 years ago. It was now.
But that's who Neil really, like, core of Neil is the prove it then, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's always that little animosity between Peter and Neil. I think that was a sign that it's still there. And then Peter kind of thinking that, you know, having doubts about Neil, that was something that was underlying these last few seasons, but never really came out. And then this was that crisis that brought out some of those feelings that had been suppressed. You know, I mean, I don't think Neil likes the fact that he got caught by Peter, but he likes Peter as a person. So they kind of like conflict in that way. I don't know. I just find it.
I'm with you. No, I'm with you. Like I said, I enjoy the show. My concern is that I worry that they're going to try and build in too much drama when, with a show like this, it's on USA, so you know, like, it's not going to really go to too much of a dark territory because they don't really allow for that. So,
well, you know, Tiffany is going to be in Dancing with the Stars, so maybe she's not here. Coming back.
I don't know. I love Tiffany Thiessen.
I'm sure
I would
she'll
be devastated
back,
if she didn't come back.
We need Mrs.
Yeah, I love the Peter and Elizabeth. We do. We
yeah,
really
they,
do.
They, yeah, they need to have her back and not in where she's traveling somewhere.
Yeah.
Doing something.
Oh, that was because she was pregnant.
Yeah.
Where they put up some fake background. Oh, she's in San Francisco. Oh, she's in.
I thought they handled her pregnancy pretty well. I mean, yeah, it was kind of weird, but I thought it was. Knowing that she's pregnant and that they wanted to keep her on the show, I thought that it worked as a way to do that.
Yes, I agree.
But I'm glad completely. She's back in person and with everybody.
Yes. So we want to talk now about series premiere of a show that will have aired by the time people listen to this, The Lying Game, Season 1, Episode 1, Pilot. So, well, I will start by saying that I did not like Ringer, and I like this less.
But
I liked the lead more than I liked the lead of Ringer. Don't hate me, people! Don't hate me, don't write me hate notes. Don't tell me I'm horrible because I don't like Sarah Michelle. But I can understand why The Lying Game will be huge for ABC Family. Anyway, why did you like it? What did you like about it?
I like ABC Family shows, I guess I should say off mm-hmm. the bat. I like that they're kind of lighthearted. The writing is pretty good for, you know, even though the target audience is, you know, teenagers and whatnot, I like to think that I'm young at heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it has the lead, I was a little taken back by her because I kept thinking that she was, what's her name from Vampire Diaries?
Nina Dobrev.
Yes. Like she, every once in a while, she would have like a facial movement and she'd look just like her. And then another minute, she would seem like she's like a younger Katie Holmes. Mm-hmm. So that kind of threw me a little bit. Just, you could tell that they probably were looking to go that direction with the lead. But once you get to know her as an actress, I'm sure that, you know, that'll kind of go away. I like the mystery behind it. The fact that the two twins didn't know each other, unlike Ringer, where
right.
you know, they knew each other. So these were two twins, kind of like a, you know, they just found each other, and you know, they just kind of on the spur of the moment switch spots. The romance component of it, you know, that the bad sister or you know, the rich snobby sister that has all these boyfriends is, you know, now having the other sister that is the good girl that was in foster right. care. Is having to deal with. I find that, you know, intriguing, and I think it'll be interesting to watch play out. I liked the cast, you know, the bad boy who seems like to be a good boy boyfriend, the one that's yeah. It was kind of weird because you expect him to be a bad boy, but he seems to actually be the nicer of the two boyfriends. The one that's, I don't know his name, but the cop.
Yeah, I don't know
brother.
His name too. He's from. I know he was Ty on Switched at Birth, but I don't know his name in this show.
That's where I saw him before. I mean, like, I had just seen him on something. I couldn't place it. You know, I liked that and that he knows the secret. I liked
yeah.
that, you know, it's not going to be some ongoing nobody knows. But, you know, I think it'll be less intrigue than Ringer will be and mm-hmm. more lighthearted and fun mystery kind of show. You know, I don't know. I'll watch a few episodes and see. You know, Switched at Birth is another one, the ABC Family show that it took me a few episodes to really enjoy. But that I like that family dynamic and just good-hearted show. Sometimes it's fun to watch.
I mean, I also didn't love Pretty Little Liars off the bat. I don't think I liked that pilot when I watched it either. So I definitely will tune into at least a couple more episodes just to see if it kind of changes my mind. And I'm the same way about Switched at Birth. Like, I was watching it, but I wasn't loving it. And then now I'm definitely looking forward to more episodes when they come back. So we'll see what happens.
I think we've already established that I watch way too many TV shows based on Teen Chick Lit.
Yes, you do.
And this would be another one. The thing that I notice most is that the setup, except for like one major element, the setup and the way the episodes play between Ringer and The Lying Game are so similar. It's it's like they were cribbing off of each other.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked Ringer better in the setup. This one, the main problem I had was with the setup of the sort of quick switch. And while I understand that maybe one sister would think that maybe for a couple of days, you know, she'd be able to get away with it because it was only supposed to be for a couple of days, that sort of not having enough information, like in Ringer, while it's been a while since they've seen each other and they don't really know about, she doesn't really know about her new life, she still knows about her sister. This, they have like 3 months of talking, you know, across the computer, and all of a sudden she's supposed to be able to basically know everybody. And based on not having a certain piece of information, the one boyfriend, you know, figures it out that she's not who she says she is.
Right.
And so, I don't know. So some of the way that's set up, it seemed to not. And then the computer gets stolen, so that's even less information now that she has to be able to sort of go off of. I don't know. It just seemed like there was too much implausibility in, you know, a somewhat implausible situation already. You almost have to buy too much for her to be able to pass.
You know what?
It's an ABC Family show. You got to just go with it.
What I was saying, too.
Well, I know you have to go with it, and you do, but it just seemed like there was more in this setup that you had to buy than, say, something like Ringer.
Yeah, that's true.
And then once you get into it, I like the idea of why did they only take one?
So why did they only adopt the one sister?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why did they only adopt one? You know, who are the parents? What? All that mystery stuff behind it, that's an interesting layer, and I like. And so I think maybe, like, sort of once you sort of forget about how things set up, maybe you're able to buy it a little bit more going on and be able to enjoy it. But the other thing I don't like about the show is the thing that I don't like about a lot of these teen dramas is the freaking cast is all like 25 or older, except for like one of them. And it's starting to get really hard to buy that, is that the only one that looks close to being a teenager is the one blonde that used to be on Kyle XY, that's one of the friends, who was playing a teenager when she was actually a teenager and is now only like 21, and so can still sort of pass. But the rest of the cast, including the guy's like 27 or
that's how they always do it.
But for it's getting, I don't know, as I get older, it gets harder to buy this. I don't know. It's not like I can look back and go, obviously, in stuff like 90210 and stuff like that, there's always been a lot of the characters are older than they've played. But for some reason, it's becoming more and more noticeable to me. And it's hard to buy these four friends as, what are they supposed to be, like 16 or 17?
I don't really know.
Wow, this one guy is like 28.
Yeah. But like three of the friends, you know, are like 25. And that.
So I want to say something. So you were talking about how the one boyfriend notices that the other boyfriend doesn't. And I think as I'm thinking about this, it's kind of I will understand it more because her friends are more about like her current friends are so shallow that they would only judge her by outwardly she looks like her sister.
Right.
They wouldn't judge her by spending time with her and knowing within seconds that it's not the person that they've spent time with. So right. That to me makes sense, which then, and this can be dealt with for the CW, which then leads me to think about the adult on Ringer who don't pick it up, but whatever.
But on Ringer, it's a different setup, and without, I don't want to spoil anything, but like on Ringer, people do know that she's not who she says she is, even though they're playing along.
Do they?
Yeah. At least that was my interpretation of the ending of the pilot. That some people did know, but they weren't letting her know that they knew.
I don't know.
One person
that's
in particular. Yeah, one person in particular that would most likely be the one that would know is in on the whole thing.
Intrigue. Anyway, so there's a lot to
talk
about. No, it's okay. Now I might have to go back and rewatch it.
I get what you were saying about Ringer, and the last 10 minutes of Ringer is what made me decide that I did like it. And it's definitely a much higher level show than Lying Game is. I mean, the level of intrigue and the mystery and the relationships are much deeper on that show, you know, than on the ABC Family Lying Game.
See what happens. I mean, I will definitely be watching more to see what happens, but really only to kind of either convince myself I'm right and not watching it or that I'm wrong and not giving it a second chance. So that's...
Well, one other little thing. If you're going to do a tennis match, Make it look like a tennis match. Not like one really, 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 really long point that when you win, you win.
Right.
That was just another
thing.
That was
weird. I was like, are they just rallying back and forth?
It was like there was no break. There wasn't like they collapsed a match. They showed like this. It seemed like a really long point.
Yes.
But apparently it was the final point or something like they'd been playing because she won.
Yeah, it was weird.
So there are some little things in there and the way they shoot some things that they need to work on. But yeah, I just had to say something about that.
So that's prime time. And we want to talk about a couple things for the reality check today. I am very happy with the winner of Food Network Star. As I've mentioned, I'll never watch the show. Like, I don't watch the show of the winner. I don't watch the show of the Design Star winner. I just don't watch the show. Whatever. But I do enjoy the competition part of it. And the right person won. Spoiler alert, it was Jeff. It's the Sandwich King. And I loved him. I would also be happy if Susie won. And I'm sure that, like, most also-rans have for the last couple seasons, Susie will also get her own show. Design Star, I still hate Kathy. I still hate her. And I think she needs to go. And every season, every week, she's in the bottom three, but she always seems to be saved. So maybe tonight, on tonight's episode, she'll finally be gone. And then on MasterChef, I like two of the finalists, and I dislike two of the finalists. And I hope that Susie and Christian crash and burn and lose terribly. So there you have it. That's my reality for the week. And that's it for us today.
Thanks,
I want to thank Carla for joining us.
Jinx.
Well, thanks for having me. It
Jinx.
Was fun.
I would say you owe me a soda, but I gave up soda, so that will not be happening, friends. Yes, thanks for it was not, you had a lot of good feedback, which I like. I like a good back and forth and like shows I don't like. I like to hear why people like them and not just people who say like, "Well, I like them."
You're like, "But why?"
You know, like that's my biggest pet peeve with like a Twitter back and forth. Somebody's like, "I don't know, I just do." And I'm like, "That's like my mom describing why I should eat like baked beans. I don't know, they taste good." No, they don't to me. Why do they taste good to you? No, it's an ongoing process. Anyway, thank you. Our music today was provided by IODA PromoNet. The song is TV Party by the Asylum Street Spankers from their Mercurial title put out by Yellow Dog Records. Yay!
And as with usual, you can find us at tvtimes3.com.
Spell it all out. Oh, we haven't done Spell It All Out in a long time. I haven't thought about that.
And you can find us on Stitcher and iTunes and every place else. And in the show notes for this episode, we'll have links to where you can find Carla on Twitter and stuff like that, not like actually.
We're not giving out her address.
And then next week, as I mentioned before, we're doing an ABC fall preview, and Ray will be back with us.
Ray will be back with us. We actually just all watched the NBC. Ray was visiting me this week. Me and Kath and Ray all met up with Dan. So that was fun. We watched some pilots. So she'll have a lot to say. Or maybe not a lot to say, because I don't think she liked anything. But we'll see.
But as long as she'll be able to tell us why.
Exactly. Exactly. I won't kick her off if she tells me why. So, all right. That's about it.
All right. Thank well, you. That'll
Yay.
Do it.
That'll do it. All right. I'm off. Thanks again.
Thanks for having me.
All right, talk to you guys soon.
Bye.
Bye.
We sit glued to the TV set all night.
And every day.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of brews.
Which I have now done.
All right, hello.
Okay, Carla, say something.
This is Carla.
Okay, there we go. Just got to make sure that it's recording everybody. I'm uber paranoid.
I mean, we haven't yet had a week where it doesn't record, has it, have we?
No.
But you never know.
But one time I did realize, like, about, we were about 5 or 6 minutes into recording, and I realized that it wasn't recording you guys, and so we had to start over, which made the jokes and stuff like that seem sort of stale and flat, because we tried to replicate
it. Because we
exactly.
The same exact quotes and jokes, which it didn't.
And it just didn't have great. The same.